It's tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Welcome to an hour of Westerns. Later on, John Daner stars as J.B. Kendall, the frontier gentleman. But right now, a classic broadcast of Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd, from February 27, 1950. This marks show number 59 for the Commodore syndicated series called Black Grass Fever.
With action and suspense out of the Old West comes the most famous hero of them all, Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd. The Ring of the Silver Spurs heralds the most amazing man ever to ride the prairies of the early West, Hopalong Cassidy, the same Hoppy you cheer in motion pictures, and the same California you've laughed at a million times. Raw courage and quick shooting have built a legend around this famous hero. Hopalong is a name to be feared, respected, and admired, for this great cowboy rides the trails of adventure and excitement. William Boyd as Hopalong Cassidy, and Andy Clyde as California. Well, Hoppy, what about our story?
We call this one Black Grass Fever. Some folks don't realize it, but in the early days of the Great West, cattle ranchers had a great responsibility to the big cities in the East to keep the stock moving to the packing houses on time so they could handle it all right. Now, once in a while, if a rancher didn't have the cattle he promised to deliver, he'd try to buy or borrow it from some friend of his. But sometimes, on account of drought or rustling or a freezing winter, that might be hard to do. I remember one time California and I were finding it that way. Have nothing but bad luck, and we'd been traveling a hard trail, a long, long way from the Bar 20.
Doggone it. How much longer are we going to be eating this alkali dust, Hoppy?
See that blue sky straight ahead of these twin buttes we're riding through?
Yeah.
Well, as soon as we get there, we drop down into one of the sweetest little cattle ranches in all Montana.
We've seen plenty of ranchers in this trip, Hoppy. What we need is the right folks to do business with. Now, who...
Old Matt Blaine, one of the finest guys anywhere. Matt told me when he started this spread that if things ever got tough, to just come over and borrow a few hundred head.
Well, I reckon things just stay tough, all right. Hadn't been for me, we probably could have bought all we needed clear back in Cheyenne.
Oh, sure. Whatever got into you, California? Well, the first thing I knew, you had your six-shooter out, and there you were, making that poor fella dance to that lady piano player's music.
How was I to know it was the sheriff?
What did you think that star was, his gallus buckle?
No, but Hoppy...
Forget it. All the world loves a lover.
Gee, look at that there.
Look at her. There she is, California, right below us.
What a layout. Never did see anything so pretty. Be kind of nice to own a spread like that someday.
Mm-hmm. You'd be so lonesome for the boys at the Bar 20, you'd be back in a month. Look, what do you make of that?
Oh, don't see nothing except a nice ranch house and some of the greenest grass in the world.
Over there to the right. What about those steers?
Huh? Where? I'll be dead ratted. They ain't moving. None at all. Must be about 100 of them. All laying down like they was asleep.
They aren't sleeping in the hot sun. They're dead. Come on. We got here just in time because it looks like old Matt Blaine's in trouble.
Back to Hopalong Cassidy and Black Grass Fever. Hoppy and California have come a long, hard trail to old Matt Blaine's place to borrow some badly needed cattle for the Bar 20. But when they get to Matt Blaine's, they find tragedy has struck at the beautiful spread, and more likely they'll be trying to help Matt than asking a favor of him. That is, help Matt, if they can.
Hey, Hoppy!
Hello, Matt. Oh, it's mighty good to see you. This is California.
Well, how are you, California? Hoppy's told me lots about you.
You're a friend of Hoppy's, sir. That's all I need to know.
Hoppy, you don't know how glad I am to see you. Things are bad here. Oh, excuse me. This here's Mr. Lathrop. He's a veterinarian. This is Hopalong Cassidy and his pal, California Carlson.
How are you?
Glad to know you, Mr. Cassidy.
Howdy, Lathrop.
What's troubling, Matt?
Hoppy, 2 weeks ago, every rancher in this section started losing steers, and they've been dying like flies.
Oh, we show about 100 head that way from the top of the butte.
Go on, Matt.
Well, I've lost half my herd, and some of the men have been hit harder than me.
But, Matt, what's the reason for all this?
Well, we didn't know. But Mr. Lathrop here happened to be riding through on the stagecoach when he heard about the trouble. He's a veterinarian from Jackson City. Go ahead, Lathrop. Tell Hoppy about it.
Well, the cattle on these spreads is dying of black grass fever.
Black grass fever? What's that?
Well, I've only heard about 3 other cases in this country myself. Mostly it happens in the Orient, you see.
Well, how does it work? What does it do?
Once it takes hold of grazing land, there's nothing you can do to stamp it out. As long as you graze steers here, more of them will die. Come to see your friend at a bad time, Mr. Cassidy.
So I have, Lathrop, so I have.
Well, long as I'm here, I think I'll warn some of the other ranchers of my diagnosis. I think it's my duty.
Well, that's mighty nice of you, Lathrop, and thanks for telling me, too.
Just my duty. Goodbye, man.
You aim to stay in town, Mr. Lathrop?
Yes, I probably will for a few days. Why?
I'll probably see you then. Professionally, I mean.
Anytime, Cassidy.
It ain't no use, Hoppy. How about seeing him, I mean?
Matt, what would you say if I told you I came here to take you up on your offer to let me buy a couple of 100 head any time I needed them to meet a delivery contract?
My cattle are all dying here. If you want to take and drive them off, well, you might be able to save them. You're plumb welcome.
Guess we'd be plumb grateful, too, Hoppy.
Not so fast, California. Matt, I need those cattle, and I need them bad. I need them fast. But not so fast that I'm going to leave you here thinking you're wiped out and you have to give up this beautiful spread.
But what's the use, Hoppy? Facts is facts.
Matt, have you got a book on cattle diseases in the house?
I reckon I have, yes.
I'd like to see it. And then, Matt, I'm going to give you a few facts to think about. Facts I think prove there's a fighting chance for you to save your spread. Well, you see, Matt, I've never heard of black grass fever, and there's nothing in this book about it either.
But my steers are dying.
How come Lathrop just happens in the town about this time?
That don't make no difference. If I stay longer, it means losing more steers. I can't afford it, Hoppy.
But you're too old to make a fresh start, Matt. Now, what if your steers are being poisoned?
I don't think they are. We've had the druggist analyze the water in all the water holes, and it's all right. Besides, why would anybody want to ruin?
I don't know. Might just be someone is anxious to get a hold of this land around here.
That's where you're wrong. When us ranchers pull out, the land goes back to the banker who's holding the mortgages.
And who's that?
Jess Atkins. And Jess is the squarest banker in these parts. He says he can't be prosperous if us ranchers ain't.
He says that. Well, then...
What got your suspicions up in the first place, Hoppy?
That's just when I was coming to, California. Here it is. Matt, think of that vet, Lathrop.
What are you driving at, Hoppy?
All the vets I've seen in, were tan from being out in the open with the stock.
Hoppy's right, man.
And did you notice his hands, Matt? A vet doesn't keep his nails long, they'd get in his way.
Maybe so, Hoppy.
Think, Matt. Who does keep his nails long here in the West? I'll tell you who. A gambler. Now, Matt, does that give you anything to think about besides just pulling up stakes?
Maybe, Hoppy, maybe.
Give me in California 48 hours. Maybe I'm all wrong. But before you decide to quit, just give us a chance to look into things for you.
What if it don't do any good?
Well, the offer still goes. If we fail, we'll buy your stock outright for the bar 20. If we succeed, we'll just borrow them. You keep your spread until we return the loan after the fall roundup.
Hoppy, there's that vet's buckboard parking in front of the bank.
Surprise?
Yeah, and the light's on inside the bank. Kind of late for banking.
Not too late for that Lathrop fella. Just walking down the bank steps. Look there.
Looks like that's money he's stuffing in his billfold.
Well, what do you know? California, you scatter nose around some.
Right, Hoppy.
And when I come out of the bank, you'll be waiting for me in front of the Silver Dollar Casino down the street. Are you Jeff Atkins, the banker?
Who wants to know?
My name's Hopalong Cassidy. I'm a stranger here, but...
Oh, glad to know you. Bank's closed for business, though, Cassidy.
It is?
Yeah, about time it was, anyway. I did accommodate another stranger a minute ago, but I've locked up the vault now.
Well, all I want to know right now is if you have any land to sell. I might want to buy some.
No, I haven't a thing. And I don't think you'll find much anywhere else in these parts, either.
How come? With all these ranches pulling out and you holding the mortgages, I'd think you'd have a lot of land to sell.
Oh, I see you've heard about the black grass fever, Cassidy.
That's right. And I see you've met Mr. Lathrop, the veterinarian.
Yeah, so I have. Well, if everyone pulls out, I'll have some land. Lots of land. But I'd hate to see you buy it and try to sell it to some unsuspecting poor devil.
Why not? You'd have nothing to worry about.
Well, just my conscience.
Well, thanks for the information anyway. That's all I wanted to know.
All right. Good night.
Good night, Atkins.
Hoppy.
Where's our pal Lathrop, California?
In a card game in the Silver Dollar here. And who do you think's dealing most of the time? He is.
And that fella Lathrop knows how to deal, doesn't he?
He sure does. But Lathrop ain't winning.
Let's take a look-see.
There's the game over there.
Let's stop and watch from the bar here.
What's yours, strangers?
Nothing, thanks.
Oh, did you see that, Hoppy?
I sure did. Lathrop deliberately slipped the young fellow a card. Now we'll see.
There's the showdown. And the tenderfoot wins.
Uh-huh. California, how's your luck tonight?
Who, my? Oh, no, bad. All bad. Oh, no, I don't want to get into that game, Hoppy. Yeah,
give me a chance to try to get a rise out of him.
Well...
Let's go.
All right, Hoppy, if you say so. Now it's the tenderfoot steal.
Looks funny.
Howdy, fellas. Get room for the consarnest, unluckiest poker player in Montana? How about it, Mr. Lathrop?
Well, I'm losing, but it's all right with me. There's your winner. Ask him. It's his deal anyway.
Oh, sure, it's okay. Sit down, mister. Right next to me if you want him. Might bring you luck.
Well, thanks, young fella.
Everybody ready? There goes. I didn't expect to win, really.
No?
King bets. I was just killing some time until tomorrow. Everybody staying? I really came here on business, and I figured I might be able to...
That does it. I just saw you second dealing, stranger.
He got what's coming to him, all right.
Look at that stack of chips, the sharper.
You dressed yourself like a tenderfoot, didn't you?
That's one of them.
Not so fast. I was standing right back of the tenderfoot when he was dealing. He didn't second deal. Furthermore, Lathrop, on the hand just before this one, I saw you deliberately peel a card from the bottom of the deck and give it to the tenderfoot, and he won that pot. It was cold-blooded murder, men. Lathrop has done most of the dealing, and he wanted to make it look like the tenderfoot was winning a fortune, so he'd have a good reason to accuse him of cheating. You murdered him, Lathrop. Why? Were you trying to shut him up about something?
Why, you...
You got him, Hoppy. Winged him neat.
I'll settle with you for this, Cassidy.
We'll see. I could have killed you when you drew on me, Lathrop. But there are a few things I want to find out about you first. Come on, California. We got a few more calls to make tonight.
Now, back to Hopalong Cassidy and our story, Black Grass Fever. Lathrop, the veterinarian who had advised Hoppy's friend Matt Blaine to give up his spread, has murdered a man in cold blood before Hoppy had a chance to save him. But now, Hoppy knows his suspicions about Lathrop are confirmed, and somehow... Somebody must stand to gain if Matt Blaine and the other ranchers are so discouraged at losing their herds that they give up their spreads. Hoppy is determined to find out how and who and why.
Our horse is right down here. Must have just now started raining. Come on, Hoppy.
Uh-oh. What's bothering you, California?
Well, Hoppy, in all the excitement, I've seen the tenderfoot's wallet slip out of his pocket.
Uh-huh.
And maybe I ought to take it back, knowing now that he wasn't cheating.
Why, you old sidewinder. You're not fooling me. You picked up that wallet because you knew there'd be valuable information in it.
Glad I done it.
Let me see it. Ah, good. Here's these papers. Well, I thought it was something like that. According to this, the tenderfoot worked for the Plainsland Railroad. I'm beginning to see the light, California.
Yeah? Where are we heading for now?
Back to Matt's place.
What's doing there, Hoppy?
I want to find out a little more about Jeff Atkins. Maybe Matt can tell me. Uh-oh. What's that lion off to the north there?
Why, it looks like a big, fresh block of salt for the salt lick.
Right. Now, here are the footprints going from the buckboard to the salt lick. They're deep, see? Like someone was carrying that salt block from the buckboard.
Yeah, and here's the same prints going back to the buckboard, only not so deep.
Well, what do you say?
Well, same man went back to the buckboard after he put that salt block down. But the only man with the buckboard we've seen is that Lathrop fella. And he's back in town, probably getting a bullet took out of his arm.
Never mind about that. If this salt block is poisoned, I'll have a pretty good idea who drove the buckboard. And I'm heading back to town right now to have the salt analyzed. Grab it, California, and let's go.
I'm coming into the drugstore with you, Hoppy, and maybe you ain't so popular around here.
You better wait here with the horses.
Lathrop.
Well, Lathrop, I might have guessed this is where you'd be.
Now, no shooting in here, man. I'm just trying to bind up this arm, stranger. This ain't no place.
Take it easy, mister. Go ahead and fix up your patient. I just want to have this salt analyzed. Any objections, Lathrop? You must have come here right after the shooting.
Well, what if I did?
I just want to be sure. How long's he been here, druggist?
Oh, about 5-10 minutes, I guess.
Then you loaned your buckboard to somebody tonight, Lathrop, before you went to play poker. But you didn't have time to do it since the shooting.
What are you driving at?
Who borrowed that buckboard just before you went in to play poker and just before it started raining?
I don't know what you're driving at, Cassidy.
Just this. If you known to be playing poker, you could provide an alibi for any trouble that buckboard might happen to get itself into.
If that's what I was up to, why would I murder the tenderfoot? Like you claimed.
Lathrop, you and your partner, whoever he is, could have been providing alibis for each other.
You don't know what you're talking about, Cassidy. But you're looking for trouble, and you're sure going to get it. I'm getting out of here.
Hey, you better let me change those bandages tomorrow.
I'm afraid he wasn't listening, my friend. Now, how long will it take you to analyze this salt block? Or are you a friend of Lathrop?
Won't take me but 10 minutes. Just so as I get my fee, I'm in business to help anybody.
Fair enough. But don't let this salt block get away from you.
All right, Cassidy.
Say, Hoppy, your friend Lathrop just hightailed it right down the street in a hurry. Looks like you sure scared him when you walked in with that salt block down this way.
Well, I hope I scared him into running right over to the man who was driving that buckboard tonight. Let's just take a look at the bank and see.
Lathrop figured he'd be seen at the gambling hall, and he'd have an alibi while someone else took the buckboard out to plant the salt.
Probably. What's that? Sounds like somebody running back toward the druggist. Well, anyway, here's the bank. And if Atkins and Lathrop are in there, they're sitting in the dark. That came from the drugstore. Let's go. I should have known it.
Known what, Hoppy?
Lathrop would double back to the drugstore as soon as we left.
It's the druggist, all right.
Doc, you hurt bad?
I'm done for, Cassidy. Somebody must have got in the back window. Sneaked right up to me, and before I could...
The back window's still open, Hoppy, so I'll light out after him.
Yeah, and pronto, California.
Looks like you've got callers coming, Hoppy. I'll stand by.
You duck, I'll handle them.
Hey, what's going on here?
Somebody plugged the druggist here, Sheriff.
How'd you get here so fast, stranger?
I was standing outside the bank when I heard a shot. I ran right over.
Outside the bank at this hour?
Maybe he was, and maybe he wasn't.
Well, Lathrop...
I heard Cassidy having an argument with old Doc just 10 minutes ago. He knows I did. Don't you, Cassidy?
So you were here earlier tonight, Cassidy, huh?
Sure I was, but I just brought a block of salt to have it analyzed.
Ask him to tell you where the salt is, then, Sheriff.
Well, Cassidy?
Why, it was right over here.
But it just ain't there now, huh? Get your hands up, Cassidy. I'm taking you in for the murder of Doc Brown.
Sorry, Sheriff, but I just got to ask you to drop that shooting iron. Drop it.
Why, California, you old sidewinder, you are downright eloquent.
Why, me and Hoppy's got a few errands to do tonight, Sheriff, so we'll just be taking our leave. The horse is outside the back window, Hoppy.
Ask me where we're going, California. Now, gentlemen, I'll trouble you to keep peaceable and quiet while we go through this window.
Huh? Where are we headed for, Hoppy?
Why, we'll just head straight for Matt Blaine's place, of course. He'll vouch for us. Now, don't move any of you. Go ahead, California. Now, let's get riding.
Hey, Bruno! Get after those men!
Those fellas shoot mighty poor.
See that side street up there in the town?
Nicest little side street I ever did see. Right behind the start of the trail to Matt Blaine's.
Right, and get in the shadows over there. They figure over that next rise. They heard us all right. They're headed for Matt's place.
They sure are, Hoppy. And where, might I ask now, are we really headed for?
That tenderfoot who worked for the railroad told you he came here on business.
Well, that's right, Hoppy. But what could that business be?
Well, tying into the play Lathrop made can only mean one thing. The railroad sent the young fella here to buy up the right-of-way for a line that's going to be built right through this town.
And Lathrop didn't want the word to get out before he scared the ranchers off the spread.
But Lathrop isn't in this alone. He is a stranger here. He must be getting some help from inside the town.
Darned if he ain't.
And I want to be able to prove who that is.
Well, I'll declare. What are we going to do now, Hoppy?
Do? Remember Jeff Atkins? We're heading for his bank.
Bank's dark, Hoppy. Atkins ain't here.
Fine, we're going in anyway. I see the poor old druggist wasn't the only one who leaves these windows unlocked around these parts. Come in, California.
Yeah. What's the idea, Hoppy?
There's only one safe place so close to the drugstore Lathrop could have taken that salt after he plugged the druggist.
I got you, Hoppy. But if we're wrong and we blast that vault and the salt ain't inside...
Then we'll really be hogtied. They'll be wanting us for murder and bank robbery.
Hoppy, I sure wouldn't want to put a lot of money in that vault.
It don't look very strong. Stand back. I think I can shoot that handle off.
That last one did it. Hoppy, there's your poison salt block.
Sure, and that means that Atkins and Lathrop were in this together.
Don't move, either of you.
Well, Atkins, nice of you to join the party.
I had an idea you'd be heading back here once you figured out the salt was poison, Cassidy. So I've just been waiting for you to blow the vault door off.
We didn't have to blow it off. We just fired 3 shots at it and it fell off.
Now, when the posse comes back to town, they're going to find 3 bullet holes in my vault door. 3 bullets missing from your gun and 2 dead bank robbers. I'm going to kill you both.
Now to the conclusion of our story, Black Grass Fever.
What a perfect setup, Cassidy. To be able to kill you because you're robbing my vault.
But it's not quite so easy. Think it over. You got 1 gun. There are 2 of us. Do you think you can kill us before we close in?
Maybe I'd better start with 1 of you right now.
Don't be a fool, Atkins. You may get 1, but the other will get you. Listen, the posse coming back.
Don't bluff. I don't hear anything. You don't either.
Oh, yes, I do. Posse must have known they were on the false trail when they got out in the open. And you haven't taken that salt out of the vault yet.
I don't hear anything.
Move a little closer to the window, Atkins. I can hear him.
You're crazy, Cassidy. I can't hear a thing.
You didn't get hit, did you, California?
Nope. You all right, Hoppy?
Sure. And Banker Atkins wasn't hit either by anything harder than the heel of my shooting iron.
By the time he comes to, the sheriff will really be back.
And all we have to do to get a confession out of Mr. Atkins is just leave that poison salt block sitting right in his safe where it's nice and dry.
Hoppy?
Yeah?
Just tell me one thing.
Yeah?
What was you thinking when you was deciding whether or not to take a chance of blowing off the door to Atkins' safe and taking a chance of maybe being wanted for bank robbery?
Well, California, I'll tell you.
Yeah? Yeah, Hoppy?
I figured if it came to the worst,
yeah,
then we'd just grab ourselves some of Jeff Atkins' money. So then we could even pay double if we had to get cattle for the bar 20.
Well, I declare.
Or if we got the cattle without paying double, we'd buy some more cattle and start a spread for you to run, California.
Oh, why, hop along, Cassidy. You're the most thoughtful hombre this side of...
Then we'd go back to Cheyenne and look up that lady piano player you were so loco about and get her to settle down with you.
Oh, now, Hoppy, you wouldn't... No, sirree, I ain't a go... Yeah. You didn't but for a minute fool me, Hopalong Cassidy. No, sir, not but for a minute, you ring-tailed coyote.
I guess not, California, I guess not.
Hoppy and California thus end another exciting adventure. Next time we visit, you're going to hear the astounding tale of murder and intrigue in the icy Dakotas. Hoppy calls this one the Cold Country. So be sure to listen to the next thrilling episode of Hopalong Cassidy. Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd, is transcribed and produced in the West by Walter White, Jr. Black Grass Fever was written by Sidney S. Swirsky and Dwayne Yarnell. All stories are based upon the characters created by Clarence E. Mulford. This is a Commodore production.
Hopalong Cassidy, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 27th of February, 1950, a syndicated recording. You're listening to an hour of old-time radio westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and now we continue with the second-to-last broadcast ever of The Frontier Gentleman. The series began on CBS Radio on February 2nd, 1958, with writing, production, and direction provided by Anthony Ellis, who also worked for the suspense series Escape, and a slew of other programs on the Columbia Broadcasting System. This episode from November 9th, 1958, called Holiday.
In Missouri, I saw 1,000 people come to witness a living man's funeral.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
Prior to the war between the states, Cole Williams and his band of Missouri irregulars terrorized Kansas. He was reported to have been mortally wounded in his last monstrous raid, but his body was never found. So when I heard that a man said to be Cole Williams was dying in the river town of Batesville, Missouri, I traveled 300 miles in 4 days on the chance that I might get to talk to him. I found the man under personal guard of the sheriff in a room at the hotel.
No, mister, I'm not letting anybody in that room that don't belong here.
But, Sheriff, I'm a newspaper correspondent.
It don't make no difference to me.
My name is Kendall. I write for the London Times.
It still don't cut anything with me. I ain't wearing him out on no newspaper man.
Then will you answer a few questions?
You ask them, we'll see.
Is the man really Cole Williams?
Don't know yet. We all know this all around here is Bill Adams. We're waiting for someone who knew Williams to make sure.
You say you've known him as Bill Adams. Does that mean that he's been living in Batesville?
12 miles east of here. He's been working him some ground out there enough to keep himself fed.
I see.
Comes to town about twice a year. hard for him, you know.
How's that?
He's crippled.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. Got a bad hip. Had it ever since he first come here. Barely get on a horse.
How'd that happen?
Never said. Always kept to himself.
I should think of sheriff and inquire.
No, you're wrong there. Next question.
How old a man is he?
Doc and I figure about 38, maybe 40. He won't tell us nothing.
Well, this rumor that he is Cole Williams, just how did that start?
Somebody left him outside my office 4 nights ago.
Hey, what?
That's right. He was real sick, and they just rode off and left him there. He'd stuck a note in his pocket saying he's Cole Williams. We don't know any more than that.
Well, do you have any idea who brought him?
We suspect a rider who's been seen going to Adam's place every now and again. Man probably come calling and found Adam's where he is.
Hmm. Is it true this man is dying?
That's what the doc says. It's the rots.
Rots?
Swelling on the side of his chest, sore looking.
Oh, what does the doctor say it is?
The rots. You don't know any more about it than I do.
Sheriff, may I... Would you let me in to ask him a few questions?
No, I won't.
But why...
You through with me now?
Well, he's able to talk, isn't he?
Sometimes. It ain't that.
Well, then may I just look at him?
Did you know Williams?
No.
Then you ain't going in. I figure to keep him alive. Only persons to get in there is going to be them who knew Williams. I got important people coming. Official people. If he really is Cole Williams, there'll be a lot of questions they'll want answered.
Army men, I presume?
Them and others.
Officials from certain towns in Kansas?
Them in particular. Yes, sir. I figure a lot of people from over there are going to want to know why he done them things. Why he and his men tore up their towns.
Do you think he'll tell?
Don't know. But he's dying. Maybe that'll make a difference. No, sir, Mr. Kendall. I'm going to keep him alive to find out. Now, you get on downstairs with the rest of the boys.
The town of Batesville was beginning to swarm with people, some coming from as far away as Dodge City in response to the rumor of Williams. I felt myself fortunate in securing the last available room at the hotel. My window looked out onto the street, and I saw a group of army officers ride up, dismount, and go into the hotel. The first of the sheriff's important men had arrived. Knowing that if the man turned out to be Williams, my story would be of the greatest interest to American papers beside my readers in England, I decided to find a man to take my copy to Kansas City, the nearest wire terminus. In the saloon, I found a grinning little man with two of the requirements I needed, one of them being that he was drinking pure water. He followed me to my room to talk over my offer of a job. My name is Kendall. What's yours?
Bandy is all I ever heard. What kind of job you got for me?
Mr. Bandy, I presume you're aware that a man said to be Cole Williams is dying in this hotel.
I heard it on the trail. Thought I'd come on over and maybe get to see him. I don't really want no job till it's over.
Sit down, Mr. Bandy.
Oh, chairs is for dudes, Professor. I'll just hunker down here on the floor if it's all the same to you.
Now, I want you to... I presume you ride, Mr. Bandy.
Ooh, horses, give me them legs, Major.
Well... Is it worth $25 to you to ride to Kansas City?
I'd ride from here to California for that, but I ain't going till this Williams thing is over. Why, he was just about the biggest killer Missouri ever had. If I'm here when he dies, I'll have something to talk about on the trail for a long time. Oh, sir, you better get yourself another man.
Well, I write for a paper, Mr. Bandy, and I want you to take my dispatch to Kansas City when Williams dies.
Then we got another problem. It depends on how soon it happens.
Why?
Well, if he hangs on in the next week, we're smack into my drinking month.
Well, I don't quite understand. But...
My old mother taught me. She said, son, if you lay off drinking every other month, the old scamper juice will never get you. And she was right.
Oh, I see. Well, then we've got...
6 days, 19 hours, Major. After that, I won't know a horse from a hyena until the month's out.
Yes. Well, there are other things you can do for me in the meantime, Mr. Brandy. And you will be one of the most important men in this whole affair. The little man's eyes lit up as I outlined his duties. He was to circulate among the crowd and bring people to my room who might have knowledge of Cole Williams. He agreed and left happily. I went back up to the dying man's room where I tried once again to gain entry but was stopped by the indomitable sheriff. The army men came out shortly and I asked them if they had been able to identify him, but they refused to talk to me other than saying he would not admit to being Cole Williams, nor, of course, to any of the crimes attributed to Williams. I went back down to the lobby just as Bandy was starting up to find me.
Hey, Fisher, I got something for you.
Oh, yes, Bandy, what is it?
You see that prairie hen sitting over there?
Oh, well, this crowd, Bandy, I... No.
Well, you ain't looking where I'm pointing. Over there, see?
Oh, yes, yes, what about her?
Talk to her. I heard her telling the sheriff's men she'd know Williams, but they was too busy to pay any attention to her.
Good work, Bandy. I'll talk to you later. Pardon me. May I get through here, please? Thank you. Madam, I wonder if I could talk to you a moment.
No, please. Leave me alone.
Well, I'm a newspaper correspondent. I understand you'd be able to identify Cole Williams.
Why, yes. Yes, I can. Those men wouldn't let me go up. Can you get me into the room?
Possibly. Well, how is it that you would recognize Williams?
He killed my husband. I'll know if it's him.
She was pretty, in her middle 30s, and dressed all in black. I persuaded the sheriff's deputies to allow her to go to the dying man's room. The sheriff himself took her in while I waited in the corridor. When they returned, she was sobbing quietly, and he signaled me to take her downstairs. Instead, I offered to let her use my room to compose herself, and she accepted gratefully. I'll sit here.
Thank you. You're very kind. 12 years I've waited to see Cole Williams dead. 12 years. I was just sure this would be him.
Are you certain it's not?
This man's old, wrinkled. It's terrible to wish to see a man die. But I can't help wishing it were him.
Would you... Could you tell me about it?
I suppose a woman like me has no shame left, traveling all this way, hoping to see a man die.
You're from Madison City, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, I am. How did you know?
The things that happened there. I would say it was no lack of shame that drove you here.
It was horrible. 200 of them. Beautiful morning. And 200 murderers rode into our town. And he was the head of them, yelling at them, cursing them if they didn't kill fast enough for him. He rode up to our house. Our house. And he had a smile on his face. While my husband went for his rifle, I ran up. And for a second, I had hope because the man had a smile on his face. And he was wearing a flower in his hat, and I saw him stop and look at my garden. And he told his men not to ride across it. And I had hope. And he looked behind me, and his face changed. There was a shot. I screamed and turned and saw my husband, my lovely young husband, with blood running out of his mouth. He died while I shouted at the man. The man who wouldn't step on my flowers.
She was silent then for a long time. And in the darkening shadows, I walked to the window and stared out onto the street. I don't know how long I stood there, but it must have been some minutes, because when I turned, the woman had gone,
and Bandy was rushing into my room.
Hey, Professor, you better get upstairs right away. A man's just been identified. It's Cole Williams, all right. That's him.
Go for you. 15 minutes behind the wheel. That's all it takes to convince you that the 59 Plymouth's really got it. Got the newest of new design, new sport car handling ease, new Fury performance, new get up and go. Just tell your Plymouth dealer you want to sample the go. Then you turn the key and Plymouth's new Golden Commando V8 leaps into life. Now you just push a button and go on your way to the most fun-filled 15 minutes of your driving life. See your Plymouth dealer. Take your fun drive in the 59 Plymouth real soon.
You really go for a Plymouth, and Plymouth will really go for you.
For the first time since I'd arrived in Batesville, the crowd downstairs was silent. I knew that they were waiting for more news of Williams. I was on my way up the stairs when once again the sheriff stopped me.
I can let you in a little later, Kendall. He won't talk to none of the people I've sent in here anyway.
Then it is Williams?
Oh, it's him, all right. His mother's in there now.
Williams' mother?
You remember the man I said we suspected of leaving Williams outside my office?
Yes.
He brung her. His name's Shad Barlow. Went to visit Williams, seen how sick he was, left him at my place and headed out for the old lady. Says he used to ride with Cole.
Yeah, asked me to leave for a while. The old lady's crying gobs all over him. Where can I get a drink?
Downstairs, Barlow.
Mr. Barlow, I'd like to buy you a drink.
I'd rather go someplace by myself, mister.
Well, how about my room, then? I have a bottle of good rye there.
Yeah, I guess that'd be better than that saloon. All them vultures down there waiting for Cole to die so they can have a celebration.
Shad Barlow was a tall man with arms that were too long. He seemed to welcome the grayness of my room, so I didn't bother to light a lamp. As I poured him a glass of rye, he seated himself awkwardly in a straight-backed chair by the window and for a long time watched the street below. I told him my name, that I was a newspaper correspondent, and that I would welcome anything he would be willing to tell me about Cole Williams. He didn't seem to hear me, and the crowd below in the saloon began their celebration. Suddenly he got up, walked to the dresser, and poured another glass of rye.
Let the kids out of school declare a holiday. Cole Williams is dying in our town. I should never have brought him in. I thought they'd help him.
Will you tell me about him, Barlow?
Why? Why should I?
You're his friend. I'm a newspaper correspondent.
He's been so long now, I guess it don't make no difference. You got to remember one thing, though. What'd you say your name was?
Kendall.
You got to remember one thing, Kendall.
Yeah?
There was a war going on. I don't mean the big thing. I mean a long time before that, there was a war out here. Why, clear back into the 50s, it was raids. Kansans into Missouri, Missourians into Kansas, back and forth. What Cole done was to organize the sons. Yeah, that was it. Dead men fighting through their sons. I was just thinking. There ain't never been a better-looking Johnny Reb sat a horse than Cole. Nothing like what's upstairs. You'd never know that was him. Why, I've seen Cole charging down a hill, a hooting and a hollering and telling us not to worry that nobody could touch us. Cole, you know, he was a funny one. Always wore a flower stuck in his hat brim when we went on them raids. Said it brought him good luck. Why, the day we took Madison City, we all stood on that hill for 10 minutes waiting for him to find a posy. Maybe it was good luck. I don't know. Told me one time he wore it on account of his brother.
His brother?
Sure. He had a younger brother loved flowers. Growed a little patch of them on the side of the Williams house.
Then one day the Red Legs came, the Kansans. They come riding in this day and tromped all over the kid's flowers, mean-like, just looking to jayhawk somebody. Cole's brother ran out to tell him to get. And they shot him down. Cole was, what, 26, 25 or 26. He was away, and when he come back, well, it sure made him mad, real mad, for a long time. But I guess he's got over that by now.
Has he?
I'm just wishing now I hadn't come to see Cole. He just died out there at his place all by himself.
Why? He was your friend?
Oh, and people downstairs. Most of them are glad he's dying. They just come to make sure.
Yeah.
Besides, I'd kind of put them years away. Like a saddle you don't use anymore. If you go and get it out, you find the tree all shot and full of wormholes. When he dies, what'll they do with him? I mean, it won't be a law planting, will it?
I don't know.
Sure wish I could take him.
You?
Sure. I'd take him. I'd give him a laugh. He used to always say, "Boys, if it happens to me in this next fight, do me a favor and throw me in a hole in Kansas. That'll teach him." Then he'd laugh and we'd go on in it. But I don't suppose they'll let me have him, will they?
I doubt it.
Maybe I'm just drunk, Kendall. Your bottle's nearly dry. Can I buy you one?
No. No, thank you.
Funny. Funny how wrong a man can be. I thought I'd be getting Cole something decent. Not this. He don't need me no more. I'm getting out of this town. Just remember one thing, Kendall. There's two sides to everything. Don't let these cayuse killers stampede you.
No, I won't.
I watched from the window as Shad Barlow slowly rode out of Batesville. At the end of the main street, I thought he turned and looked back, but it was too dark to be sure. Concerning the actual death of Cole Williams, I can say this. There was much speculation in the saloons and streets as to whether he would admit to his crimes. I was there when he died, and for the second time since I'd come to Batesville, the town was silent. The room was crowded with men waiting for an admission of guilt or at least some sign of remorse. His mother was there, a tall, spare woman.
Ma, are you still there?
I'm here, Cole. Don't try to talk no more. Just lie quiet.
How's brother? Is he gonna live?
Cole never done a thing. All these people standing around. He was the best boy mother could ask.
Don't cry, Ma. Brother will be all right. Red Legs didn't give him no chance. But don't cry. I'll fix him. I promise I'll fix him.
He's gone. Let him know in the street.
The tired woman walked out of the room while someone signaled to the street that Cole Williams was dead.
Getting away from it all is a big part of everybody's dream. Still, nobody wants to come back from a weekend like Rip Van Winkle, so completely at sea about what went on during his absence that he couldn't find a place for himself in his old hometown. Well, fortunately, you don't have to come back from a Rip Van Winkle, no matter how far you go from civilization over Saturday and Sunday. Take a radio with you, and wherever you are, whatever you're doing, CBS Radio will tune you in on the world you've left behind. With your dial set for your local-affiliated CBS radio station, the CBS News Department brings you fast, efficient, comprehensive reports at regular intervals all week long. CBS newsmen all over the nation and the world are trained and seasoned at sifting the trivial from the important. Make CBS Radio your window on the world while you're on your weekend jaunts, and you won't have to pay any penalty on your return for getting away from it all for a while. Frontier Gentlemen was produced and directed by Anthony Ellis. Tonight's script was written by Tom Henley and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, Richard Perkins, Joseph Kearns, Virginia Gregg, Helen Klebe, and Jack Moyles. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. Bud Sewell speaking.
Drive with care. Nobody has a life to spare. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Frontier Gentlemen on Tuned to Yesterday from November 9, 1958 on CBS. Only one more broadcast of that series would bring it to a close. And so closes this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levionier. Thanks for tuning in.